Good morning, Auroville. Good morning, whole wide world. How are you all doing this morning? How is your garden growing? How are those little plants managing? I hope you've mulched all your plants. When you mulch your plants, you reduce evaporation. You also reduce the soil temperature, and that's really fundamental for any plants to grow. You also reduce the amount of weeds that will grow because the soil doesn't have sunlight. You're returning organic matter. And if there are heavy rains, your soil won't get eroded. So whatever plants you do have out there, I would mulch them. That's probably the most important thing to do. I was at one of these community garden projects that I told you about last week in Invocation, and the kids are doing their own gardens. They've got like 5 beds going, lots of little things going. And I said to them, look, your regular jobs are mulching and then watering. Because when you mulch, there'll be less watering to do. And I think that that's a really key thing to do. Anyway, that was just a little tip to hopefully, you know, improve our gardens in Auroville. Now is the time to plant, guys. It's really, really fundamental that you start thinking about planting. This week we have the very famous date in the Tamil lunar calendar of Adi. So in Tamil, Masam means month. So we say Adi Masam. It's the lunar month of Adi. And on the 18th of Adi, we are practically guaranteed rains. And on this day, there's a proverb, and it's called Adi Pattam Teda Vedai, which means it's the season of Adi. Go and get the seeds. Go and find the seeds. And you should plant pumpkins and all the gourds. So even if you have a garden that you don't have any particular vegetable bed, and you just dig a little pit and you put some compost in it, remove the weeds and just maybe dig it up a little bit and make it a little bit loose, the soil, and put in a few pumpkin seeds, those pumpkin seeds will flourish in this season. Normally, if you just mulch that, you shouldn't have to do too much after that. Maybe here and there, if there's a few extended period of no rain, you might give it a bit of water, but you shouldn't actually have to do anything. There's been many seasons where, many years where we've done that around the perimeter of the farm, pits all over the perimeter of the farm, and there's been pumpkins and pumpkins and pumpkins galore, and we actually didn't have the possibility of even going and watering them. So that's a really nice tip for the Adi Pattam, the Adi time. Now this week I wanted to share with you a bit about, you know, I'm always interested in sort of a philosophy and why, you know, why is it that things are as they are, and how is it that we can be deeply motivated to change? What are the essential reasons for why we're in the predicament we're in? So, you know, without being too negative about it, I think we can see that man has become desensitized to the natural world around him. You know, that's happened from over centuries and centuries there's this whole thing of in the 17th century materialism and this sort of paradigm where we lost the animistic sort of view of nature, where nature was a spirit and nature was alive and you know, even it was called by a gender, female and male. You know, it was something alive to engage in, and then nature slowly just became something to be used, and all of consciousness was shoved into the human brain. We became cerebrocentric rather than seeing that consciousness was also there in nature as well. So I think that from that sort of part, that period and onwards, and then industrialization and more technology and more how money is defining our lives, man has become desperately desensitized to the natural world. And we can see in the world that we live in today that that's a very serious problem. So the question is, how do we rediscover this sensitivity, this this, I call it this road back to nature, which pulls us back to something very essential about who we are. And working with kids, working in education on this subject, I think is extremely important. But I think that when it's plugged, when this subject of gardening is plugged into a school syllabus, where actually the real aim of that school syllabus is still the exams, and that kid should get on better than the next one, and, you know, individual success and the top mark and the best university and the new pair of Nike and the Mercedes Benz. When it's all actually pointing in that direction, this is just some sort of content filler for a syllabus. But when we really start to see these nature as part of our lives, as the foundation of our existence, then we actually discover a really beautiful education within that also brings in science and writing and language and poetry and filmmaking and art and even economics. You know, there's such a diversity of things to be learned. So during this lockdown time, I've been doing something very small with just five kids. You know, they come and they follow all the COVID rules and masks and this and that. And we do a few simple things together. So the first week we did is we made soap at the farm. So Solitude makes its own soap. The real reason we make soap is not to sell soap so much, but as to show people that if we make our own soap, we can recycle water, and water is being an incredibly important resource. So by making the soap, they immediately perceived that relevance. And then within the soap, they were adding papaya seeds and amla seeds and neem leaves and soursop leaves. And they added our own turmeric that we have made powder from on the farm. And this amazing hand soap was created with these products that are considered sort of, you know, well, they have no value, essentially. No, like you eat a papaya, you throw away the seeds. You eat an amla, you throw away the seeds. The neem leaves drop to the ground. Do you give them any notice? No, they're just, it's all waste. So that was a beautiful activity to do with the kids. The week after that, what we did is we went around the farm and we harvested jackfruit leaves, guava leaves, and soursop leaves, and we harvested the sarsaparilla root, the nanari root, and we harvested hibiscus flowers and the Radha's consciousness flower, the Clitoria ternatia, the blue flower, Sangapu. And with these different flowers, we made six different juices, and we tried each juice separately without any sweet. Then they added a bit of lemon to them all, and then we made them a little sweet, and they found their favorite. I think one of their favorites was a jackfruit leaf, actually, with a little lemon and a little, they had it a little sweet. These are, you know, it's, kids are kids, no? Even I like a little sweet in my juice. And then what they did is they went and made labels for the juice, and they wrote down a few of the medicinal properties. And the cafe is running with about 10 guests a day at the moment because of lockdown. Not many people are coming. So they went and served the guests at the cafe the juice. And they took some bottles home that they kept for their community garden project. So when they were thirsty in their community garden project, they had their own juice. The next thing that we did with these kids is we made a movie. So we just took the camera and we created a story, and the story naturally is on the farm and it came from the farm. So it was called Tapioca Thievery. And I think that the story was, I mean, you'll see the story, but basically a farmer wants to grow tapioca and wants to eat tapioca, but is only given sticks. So he grows the tapioca, harvests it, and it's stolen. So there's a whole story there. It was really fun. And now the kids are learning how to do editing on their own. I mean, not on their own, with the help of a friend from school, a filmmaker, Richa. And they're going to put this together. Today, they are doing again, they're taking the camera again, because I sort of you know, said to them, why don't you use the camera a little bit to document what you're learning? So they're using the camera today to document making henna. So we have a number of henna trees on the farm, or they're large, large bushes, and they've taken the leaves and they're making the paste. My daughter, Chandani, she does that quite regularly for the hands and for the hair. And they're going to do some highlights in some people's hair, and they're also going to do some designs on some people's hands. They've also gone on Google and they've studied the beneficial medicinal benefits of henna. So I think it's good for headache. I think it cools the body. I think it's good for arthritis and a few other things. So they're going to do that, and they're going to put that all together into a little video. Later on this morning, they have our friend from Serenity coming, Rekha, and she's going to show them how to make their own shampoo. And I think their plan is to video that as well, but later, once they make it themselves, they'll just create their own video on that. So you see, there's a lot of beautiful things emerging just from allowing these kids to be. There's no real big imposition on them to achieve this, and you got to do that, and you got to learn this, and you get it. Okay, we've got a bit of that going on as well, homework and this and that. But I think this spirit of finding out the, you know, being sensitive and aware to the riches in nature, I think that is coupled with eating local food, of course, and gardening, because all of these kids are running their own garden. These are the kids who have the gardens in Invocation. I think that this is what will breed a generation of kids who are sensitive to other values. And, you know, who grow up with a love for something else. I think we don't realize how deeply we are conditioned. You know, we're conditioned to grow food in rows because it's more efficient. And I admire that efficiency. I see some farms and I go, wow, that's so awesome. How much you're growing and how productive this and that. And how much, you know, you got this much more yield and this and that. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But then I see that. And it's very hard to talk about this without it sounding sort of dualistic. But then I see, but hang on, Moritakan and Thuthuvale and the Ponangani spinach and this Satne spinach and this Brazilian joyweed spinach and this particular plant and that particular plant are not in their diets because there's this direction of doing the plants in rows for a production. It's very hard to talk about because when I see that type of production, I'm like in admiration, actually. And I think, wow, that's really good. But I can still see that we're conditioned to think in this way of production and monetary gain and such things. And we lost depth and diversity. And as long as we lose depth and diversity of biodiversity, that relates as reflects in our diet, reflects in our lives, then we lose culture. And when we lose culture, we lose our adhesive in our society. And without that, we don't have a bond. Everything is running for the goal of financial gain, actually, at the end of the day. So I think that this allowing children to discover what's around them in various, you know, ways from, I know with Johnny, the Chani, there's another group of a few kids and they meet Johnny sometime and they go in the forest and they draw in the forest. I mean, that's so beautiful. And I think that coupled with soap and juice and gardening and cooking, I think all of these things are really what will create a new generation that can do something very, very positive on this planet. Anyway, that's my ramble for this week. I hope you're okay with my rambling along like this. And tomorrow in Serenity, we are going to I forget what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. I think we're actually working on plans. We're actually working on how to create a plan for the community. What does it look like, this garden, in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time? And we're actually trying to do the same thing in creativity. We're trying to possibly do the same thing in invocation, to start to give community members who might not have so much confidence in the whole thing, sort of a vision of where it's going, and to inspire them to say, well, hang on, this is actually really cool. So that's what's going on. On Friday, again, something's happening in vocation, in creativity. And on Thursday, in solitude, we still have this little gathering where we are going to do the Secrets of Our Salad workshop. And I look forward to seeing you in any of those places. Go and check out what's happening around Oroville. If you want to start a garden, if you want to get something going, let me know and we'll come and check it out and try and help you get on your feet. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
It's kind of sad, but I think, well, maybe. Ain't you tired of spinning around and around, pushing the next one down? He said, I'll kill you and I'll take my revenge. I said, oh, will you? Oh, no, please, not again. Ain't you tired of spinning around and around, pushing the next one down? All the world's the same, I've seen. And we humans can be so, so mean. Yes, we must learn to love our brothers, mean and hard and tough. Men that want to hurt us, and those men will face their destiny. And it's so bad. Sorry state, I cry to God, I hope it's not too late. And yes, we must do learn to love our brothers, mean and hard and tough. Men that want to hurt us, those men will face their destiny. And it's so bad. Thank you. All the world's the same I've seen. And we humans can be so, so mean. Yes, we must do learn to love our brothers mean and hard and tough. Men that want you first, those men will face their destiny. And it's so, so, so bad.